places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Very exciting words from our Lord today, right? Humble yourself. Everyone loves to hear that. It's always a great joy for everyone to hear. And invite the poor, the crippled, and the lame. Those are the people you shall invite when you're having a dinner feast. And so these are challenging words from our Lord. They are difficult to hear, to understand what is he getting at. And in order to understand this, we have to look at it from the Jewish context. We have to understand what Jesus was talking about when, as the Gospel says, this took place at one of the leading Pharisees' homes. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the Jewish people in Jerusalem at the time, and this was a prominent member, someone who instructed the other Pharisees. And so this was a pretty important dinner that Jesus was attending. And so with Jesus' words about inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, how would they have reacted to this? How would they have received these words? And again, they would not have liked these words from our Lord. They would not have enjoyed hearing this. They would have been kind of disgusted almost at these words. Because why? Why would these words strike up so much anger in their hearts? Because the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, these would have been considered the ritually impure, the ritually unclean people. These were the ones, if you came in contact with them, if you touched them, you would have been ritually unclean, and you would not be able to participate in the worship at the temple. And so these people were not really, they were on the outside. They were separated from the rest of the people of Israel, from the Jewish people, the community. So they are outcasts. But Jesus is saying, you need to invite them. And so these Pharisees would have been like, "Lord Jesus." And they wouldn't have called him Lord. But they would have said, "Jesus, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Have another glass of wine there. You need to relax. This isn't our law. This isn't what we practice. What are you saying to us? This doesn't make any sense." But this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus flips the world a separation, the ritually unclean, the ones who can't approach God, and we look at that in light of what the author of the Hebrews was talking about. And the author of the Hebrews is comparing two different covenants, two very prominent covenants. And he looks at the first one at Mount Sinai, if you remember that one, where it takes place at Exodus 19. After the people of Israel were just redeemed, were just offered salvation by their God from the people of Egypt, and he brought them to this miraculous and power encounter with his presence at Mount Sinai. The author of the Hebrews says, "You have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and trumpet blast." He is summarizing what took place at Mount Sinai when the whole mountain was consumed with fire, smoke, clouds, lightning, and the Lord's voice resounded as a trumpet blast. And it was so powerful, majestic, and wonderful, and it filled the people of Israel with fear. It filled them with so much fear because it immediately made them recognize that they are in the presence of the Creator. It made them realize that they are in the presence of the Holy One, the author of life, the all-powerful and infinite God. And there was a separation between them and God, that the ones who were not called by God, if they were Moses or one of the chosen few, they could not even touch the mountain lest they die. This was the Jewish understanding of God's holiness. They realized how powerful, majestic, and holy and glorified he was, that their sinfulness, they could not even approach. Moses asked, "Lord, can I see your face?" And the Lord tells him, "If you look at my face, you will surely die. You can't do it." And so Moses just gets a glimpse of the Lord passing by from his backside. And from that encounter, that one little encounter, Moses was transformed. His face became radiant and shone like the sun. And the people of Israel could not even look at him. They had to cover his face after that, because that's how much God's holiness affected them. And then through the desert, when they're walking with the Ark of the Covenant, someone slips and touches it who wasn't supposed to. Someone who wasn't designated by God, one of the Levites. If one of them touched the holiness of God, touched the Ark, they were struck dead. They had this profound understanding of how holy God was and how sinful they were, that they couldn't get near God. They could not approach him. And even on their holiest days, when they celebrate the great festival of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place of the temple. One day a year, this man could enter. And as he entered into the Holy of Holies, he had to have a rope tied around him with bells, because they were so afraid that if he went in there, he would die in the presence of God. And so when they heard the bell stop ringing, they would pull out his corpse, because he was in the presence of God. And so today, now, with God being present here, God's holiness has not changed one bit. God is still that powerful. God is still that majestic. God is still blood was shed so that you might have life with him, so that you might bask in his glory, in the presence of the face of love. This is why Jesus came. He came to seek and save the lost, those who are outcast, those who could not enter into the presence of God, so that you might bask in it, so that you might enjoy it. This is why Jesus says these words. You need to be humble when approaching the Lord. You need to choose the lower place so that God can lift you up, so that God might exalt you. Because if we think we're doing okay, if we think we're fine, if we think that I can live this life on my own, I can earn my salvation, if we have that mindset, where is there room for God? How can God work in your life if you think, oh, I'm fine, I can handle it? No, we need to have this humble disposition, recognizing that the only way we can become holy, the only way we can be in God's presence, it is if we receive it with a humble disposition, with gratitude in our hearts that God has given himself to us, that God will give himself to you on this day. That's how we receive him, with this humble disposition. And God desires to give it to us constantly. This is why we haven't got it yet. We are the poor, the crippled, and the lame, and the blind. That is us he is talking about. We might not be physically impaired, but spiritually, absolutely. Absolutely. He's talking about us. He wants all of us to be healed by his love, his mercy, and grace. He wants his presence to affect a change in us. He wants us to walk away from this place with renewed hearts. And so the question remains, will our hearts be changed when we leave this place? When we receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we receive God's holiness, his divinity, at this Mass, will we be different? Will our hearts be changed by it? Will we allow God's love to change us? Or will we walk away from here as if nothing happened? Will we walk away saying, this is what Catholics do on a Sunday? We just receive our Lord and we go on our way, saying, okay, let's get back to life. Or will we have a rather different disposition, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving yourself to me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dwelling in my heart. I want to be more like you. I want to live out your words of being a light to the world, of inviting those who are outcasts, those who are rejected by society. I want to bring your love to them. But Lord, you need to do it through me. You need to change me. Every single time we come into this place, we should always be renewed. We should always